Chapter 19. Nothing, Andy went on.
Well, we're shut off the other way too. If we go back the way we've come, there's the New York Custom House, and that is worse than all of them others put together, on account of the kind of cargo we've got.
Why?
Well, they can't raise Sahara sand in America, of course, and when they can't raise a thing there, the duty is 1,400,000% on it if you try to fetch it in from where they do raise it.
There ain't no sense in that, Tom Sawyer.
Who said there was?
What do you talk to me like that for, Huck Finn?
You wait till I say a thing's got sense in it before you go to accusing me of saying it.
All right, consider me crying about it, and sorry.
Go on.
Jim says,
Mars Tom, do they jam that duty onto everything we can't raise in America, and don't make no distinction twixt anything?
Yes, that's what they do.
Mars Tom, ain't the blessin' o' the Lord the most valuable thing they is?
Yes, it is.
Don't the preacher stand up in the pulpit and call it down on the people?
Yes.
What do it come from?
From heaven.
Yes, sir. You's just as right, deed you is, honey, it come from heaven, and that's a foreign country.
Now, then, do they put a tax on that blessin'?
No, they don't.
Course they don't. And so it stand to reason that you's mistaken, Mars Tom.
They wouldn't put the tax on po' truck like San, that everybody ain't bleached to have, and leave it off the bestest thing they is, which nobody can't get along without.
Tom Sawyer was stumped. He see Jim had got him where he couldn't budge.
He tried to wiggle out by saying they had forgot to put on that tax, but they'd be sure to remember about it, next session of Congress, and then they'd put it on, but that was a poor lame come off, and he knowed it.
He said there weren't nothing foreign that weren't taxed, but just that one, and so they couldn't be consistent without taxing it, and to be consistent was the first law of politics.
So he stuck to it, that they'd left it out unintentional, and would be certain to do their best to fix it, before they got caught and laughed at.
But I didn't feel no more interest in such things, as long as we couldn't get our sand through, and it made me low-spirited, and Jim the same.
Tom he tried to cheer us up by saying he would think up another speculation for us that would be just as good as this one and better, but it didn't do no good. We didn't believe there was any as big as this.
It was mighty hard. Such a little while ago we was so rich, and could a bought a country, and started a kingdom, and been celebrated and happy, and now we was so poor and ornery again, and had our sand left on our hands.
The sand was looking so lovely before, just like golden diamonds, and the feel of it was so soft, and so silky and nice. But now I couldn't bear the sight of it, it made me sick to look at it, and I knowed I wouldn't ever feel comfortable again till we got shut of it, and I didn't have it there no more to remind us of what we had been, and what we had got degraded down to.
The others was feeling the same way about it that I was.
I knowed it, because they cheered up so, the minute I says let's throw this truck overboard.
Well, it was going to be work, you know, and pretty solid work too, so Tom he divided it up according to fairness and strength.
He said me and him would clear out a fifth a piece of the sand, and Jim three-fifths.
Jim he didn't quite like that arrangement.
He says,
course I's the strongest, and I's willing to do a share accordin', but by jings you's kinder piling it on to Ole Jim, Mars Tom, ain't you?
Well, I didn't think so, Jim, but you try your hand at fixing it, and let's see.
So Jim reckoned it wouldn't be no more than fair, if me and Tom done a tent a piece.
Tom he turned his back, to get room and be private, and then he smole a smile, that spread around, and covered the whole Sahara to the westward, back to the Atlantic edge of it where we come from.
Then he turned around again, and said it was a good enough arrangement, and we was satisfied if Jim was.
Jim said he was.
So then Tom measured off our 2/10,
in the bow and left the rest for Jim, and it surprised Jim a good deal to see how much difference there was, and what a raging lot of sand his share come to, and said he was powerful glad now that he had spoke up in time, and got the first arrangement altered, for he said, that even the way it was now, there was more sand than enjoyment in his end of the contract, he believed. Then we laid into it. It was mighty hot work, and tough, so hot we had to move up into cooler weather, or we couldn't a stood it. Me and Tom took turn about, and one worked while t'other rested, but there weren't nobody to spell poor old Jim, and he made all that part of Africa damp, he sweated so. We couldn't work good, we was so full of laugh, and Jim he kept fretting and wanting, to know what tickled us so, and we had to keep making up things to account for it, and they was pretty poor inventions, but they done well enough, Jim didn't see through them. At last when we got done we was most dead, but not with work but with laughing. By and by Jim was most dead too, but it was with work. Then we took turns and spelled him, and he was as thankful as he could be, and would sit on the gunwale and swab the sweat, and heave and pant, and say how good we was to a poor old nigger, and he wouldn't ever forget us. He was always the gratifiedest nigger I ever see, for any little thing you done for him. He was only nigger outside. Inside he was as white as you be. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.